Well, thank you so much for coming. I don't know if you guys can hear me. Is this on? Not on? Oh, no. Yes, please. I think I had the pleasure of meeting most of you guys, if not all of you guys, maybe just one. What's your name? Nice to meet you. Okay, no worries. So thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it. My name is Stephanie Chan. I'm sure you can hear me okay. I am the editorial and video producer for Cisco's social media communications. My background really is in writing and journalism. I previously worked with Marie Claire and Read Write Web, which is an old tech blog in Silicon Valley. So really excited to talk to you guys today. That's me. Today's topic is a case study on Cisco's social media strategies and how we use video as brand journalism. We're going to be talking about creating videos, YouTube. I'm going to show you a bunch of videos from our own hub, but right now I want to talk to you about storytelling. So stories move us. They call us to action. Humans are meant to process things through stories. How much more do you remember facts when told to you through a compelling narrative? I just want to stress you how important it is to use storytelling in your videos. So this first video I want to show you is a story about Justin Riray, who is an early in career employee at Cisco. And as I'm very passionate about storytelling, I thought what better way to accomplish that than to draw on my own experiences as a millennial at Cisco. And so I worked on this series called Meet the Millennials, which profiled other early in career folks at the company. And Cisco is a company of 75,000 employees. And it can get super lost in like the network, the switches, the routers. It gets very confusing. And so doing human profiles like this really helps give a heart and a face to the business.
Yes, I am known as the bow tie guy. I wore a bow tie on my first day of work, and I always kind of thought to myself, if I'm starting at a big company, I need something to really set me apart from all the other millennials at Cisco. I'm Justin Riray, and my role is executive communications for the executive leadership team at Cisco. I get to learn Cisco strategy from the people that are creating it. It's great for millennials to work in because, one, there are a ton of other millennials that are smart and fun that you can work with, you can hang out with. Two, because Cisco is just a pool of veteran knowledge as well. We have a ton of people that have been in the tech industry for like 10, 20 years, and millennials can pull from that knowledge and it will help them develop even faster.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
My craziest day at Cisco was after they announced that Chuck Robbins was going to be the new CEO, they asked me to drive our new Ava 500 robot to be in Chuck's day one video.
Hey, Chuck.
How are you?
How's it going?
You're looking very dapper in your bow tie.
Love that. That was a fun day. I'm involved with two groups at Cisco, the Cisco Asian Affinity Network and the Filipino Professionals Network. There's like a glass ceiling for Asians in the workplace. We get executives of Asian background that can kind of tell us their experience and they can offer us advice so we could, you know, try to work together to kind of move up in the ranks. I'm going to school at Santa Clara University, the Levy School of Business. And I'm getting my master's in business administration, of course. My plans for the future is definitely to stay with Cisco. I think that we have amazing technology, but more importantly, we have amazing people, and we really have amazing leaders. They really do care about their people, and a lot of them push to really put millennials in the spotlight and give us more responsibilities, challenge us more, give us more opportunities. Looking forward to being a leader for Cisco.
So this is the site that I write articles and produce videos for. It is called The Network. It is Cisco's own technology news site. And most of what we publish here is non-branded content, and that is because we operate like a real tech news site, mini newsroom and all. Publishing non-branded content really helps give us authenticity in our stories and authority in the tech space. And brand journalism is constantly evolving in the same way that social media is constantly evolving. My team likes to use this analogy, which says that good brand journalism is like being next to the cool kid at a party. They talk about themselves for a little bit, but really they're just telling you stories that you want to share with other people. So what it is driving key messages about the company. It is shaping the conversation in the tech industry. We're asking you to share in a call to action. What it's not commercial, it's not marketing content, it is not being next to the person who only wants to talk about themselves. So there's so much information going on today that people really need to digest it in bite-size concepts. And condensed content really helps break through all of that clutter. So next, I'm going to talk to you about how we accomplish that and how we create our videos. So first, I would say to find your sweet spot between what you want to say and what your target audience is interested in. If you are producing a video or working with a producer, make sure you are able to boil your story down into one sentence. This next video I want to show you is part of a series on Cisco's Global Innovation Labs, and this one particularly is on London. So while you're watching this, I want you to think about what that one summary sentence might be.
So this is a simulation of daylight in the room here where there's no natural light.
London is a great hub for innovation in the UK. The UK has lots of different people coming from different backgrounds, bringing their experiences into that technology space. The Cisco Create Innovation Center was established in 2011 to create an innovation hub to work with startups and other companies, as well as academia, public sector, and private sector clients to develop proof of concepts of new technologies.
Welcome, everyone, to our weekly update meeting.
We have projects in energy, building management, transport, public sector. So there are really different areas that we're looking at in terms of how Cisco technologies can change the way people live, learn, play, and work in the future. We are working with startups such as Ambiex, who do lighting controls. It allows basically the lights to become part of the Internet of Everything, where lighting fixtures talk to sensors, talk to smartphones, talk to computers, talk to people.
We are developing connected, networked lighting. This will enable all sorts of capabilities, not just performance lighting, but also really good energy management and reduction in energy costs. We're working week in, week out with the Cisco Create team on the Light as a Service project.
All the lights are connected through the network. You can pass information about color temperature, color, brightness, fading.
If lighting is used effectively, then it can change how we perform. It can change how we feel. Up until now, that power hasn't been available to most people.
The Cisco Create Innovation Center collaborates with a lot of different partners. We work with engineers from University College London who are doing research into the relation between light and heat perception.
Today we're going to do a cognitive performance test.
University College London is collaborating with Cisco Create in London and Cisco engineering team in the US. We are looking at the relationship between thermal comfort, the color of light and how you feel. So if, for example, the light is warmer, you may feel warmer and therefore you may not turn on the heating.
Innovation is really key to our future. More and more people live in cities, and it's really important for us to find new ways of looking at how technology can help us make use of resources more efficiently and to see how the Internet of Everything can address and solve these challenges moving forward.
So, does anyone have an idea about what that one sentence summary might be? Any thoughts? Yes.
That's something to do with the Internet of Everything.
Yeah, very good. Internet of Everything. I think my team said the one sentence is how Cisco is innovating with its partners around the world. So getting that one sentence down is really going to help you get to the heart of that story. Finding unexpected twists is the most fun of storytelling for me personally, because it's the one aspect that connects you as human beings. So in order to find authentic stories, pre-interviewing is key. And if you listen closely to your subjects, you're able to find a story within a story. So if you remember the first video that I showed you with Justin, his story was really the bow ties and how he wore them so often that he became known as that guy in the company. And we thought what a human side of the story that was and what awesome visuals it actually lended for the intro and the outro of the piece. Millennials today are communicating through memes and emojis. This is a 4-box animated GIF that we worked with an artist to create. And what we wanted to capture here was the essence of the evolution of technology. So what's really great about resources like this is that you can embed it into articles and blogs to really drive viewers in, draw viewers in. But you could also use it standalone on social media. And that's the great thing about the omni-channel approach to content and social media. If you have cool videos or GIFs, really just branch it out and have it drive back into one source. This next video I want to show you is a super fun one on Jimmy Kimmel Live. And some of you may know that Jimmy Kimmel uses a Cisco-powered wall of America on his show, which is basically this huge video wall he uses to chat with folks from around the world. And we had the opportunity to go behind the scenes and chat with some of the producers of the wall. My main message with this video is really to avoid catching your subjects in dull backdrops. You want the most action-packed filled part of their day. And for this, it turned out to be the producers interviewing guests in their control room, which turned out to be a really nice visual part of the story. Well, I can describe it to you. Sorry, the media was not found. I don't know why. That's okay. So basically, it was this very kind of like Hollywood shot Jimmy Kimmel Live video, and we did like talking heads with the producers of the video wall, and then it showed some clips of the wall being used. I'm very sorry that this didn't work out, but main thing is really just to fill your video with action. If your subject is video poor or there are no images to go along with it, you can always use animations or graphics to help tell your story. We took something here that is usually very cut and dry, and these are facts from a mid-year security report, and we really bumped it up using animations and graphics, and this worked out really well embedded into articles and blogs as well. And this has sound to it, but I'll just let that play. Next, I want to talk to you guys about hashtag Imagine Cisco. And this was our latest Vine campaign. I'm sure all of you guys are super familiar with Vine. And I'm constantly talking in my job about taking big technological ideas and breaking them down into small bite-sized concepts. And so, you know, what a better challenge than to work with 6-second videos. So we took 5 of Cisco's priority stories and we worked with 3 Vine influencers to create these really nice shareable vines. These were the 3 influencers that we worked with, some of the biggest Viners for B2C and B2B brands. And the first Vine story that I want to talk to you guys about is on data and analytics. And so the story goes that there are these office workers who are so overwhelmed by all this data coming in, and then a superhero called Analytics Man shows up and he streamlines all of their data and everyone's very happy in the end. Let me see if I can play music with this because it's pretty cool. This next Vine is on the Internet of Things, and that includes things like smart cities and connected places and spaces. And so we have this Vine about a trash can who has a sensor attached to him. And when the trash gets filled up, the sensor calls the garbage man, and the garbage man picks up the trash. And again, there's another happy ending. So these actually worked out really great for us. Sorry about that. And as you can see, the results were really great. Instagram proved to be our top engagement driver, only followed by Vine, which really proved to us that video content and animated video content is a top consistent performer for us. And as you can see, everyone really liked the trash can Vine. Keeping in line with the Internet of Things, we at Cisco say the Internet of Things to mean using the internet to connect people, processes, data, and things. But to the average person, that means absolutely nothing, and that's the issue we have when discussing this concept. So that's where the documentary Detected comes into play. And Detected is a documentary about an amazing wearable device, which is a bra that can detect breast cancer. And so next, I'm going to show you the trailer of this documentary. And this video is just to show you how we can take a big concept like the Internet of Things and break it down in a digestible way.
This is the first time in history any physician has seen this.
Breast cancer kills 500,000 women a year worldwide. Technology meant to detect the disease can catch it too late. A new invention could change everything.
All right, shall we do this?
We're in the business of the bra, so we understand.
I'm a survivor from breast cancer. My mother and my sister both passed from breast cancer.
So what we have is a wearable device,
a bra, that helps detect breast cancer.
That is huge.
This technology could really be a game changer.
This could save your life.
Technology pioneer Rob Royer is on the verge of something big.
Three friends in the last month developed breast cancer. Could we have been there?
This is kind of exciting.
When you look at the Internet of Everything, what we can do is to put sensors on a woman's body.
Much more comfortable than a mammogram, isn't it?
Communicate abnormalities to a very smart data center and get feedback on their health within minutes.
Our technology still has some challenges.
The establishment.
You know you're going to get opposition from the trade. The mammography mafia. They're not gonna make a hell of a lot more money, so they're gonna be against it.
This is the product of choice.
Yes.
I like it.
The unknown.
What we're doing hasn't been done. You have to create this highly technical grid that stays exactly where you put it.
Right side, and the cables will go down from the center.
One. Like that. Does everyone trust that we can get there?
The journey.
To get people to meet us this time was quite a challenge.
I'm sorry, I'm not saying what you like to hear.
A design of that device would require more time than we have.
If we don't get the prototype today, I can't start up the project. What if we don't get to market?
The customers.
There are patients dying every day.
Anybody in this room ever been diagnosed with breast cancer that wished to share? One, two.
Can the internet, when connected with everyday things, beat cancer? Coming soon, from the directors of Evocateur and the linguists.
We can't wait. It's time.
Detected.
So there was many ways to tell the story of Detected on social media. We interviewed businessmen and physicians and the director, and we pushed their quotes out on LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook. But aside from the documentary, we published all of our social content on our social media handles daily. We have a take, share, and engage program, which pretty much means that if I publish something on the network, you're able to steal it and rip it off. We just ask that you give us credit for it. We work with internal Cisco teams to amplify. We work with employee ambassadors. We have something called a social media ambassadors program, which employees can sign up for. And that pretty much means that they will get an email with a piece of content and pre-prepared social copy. So it's really easy for them to just copy and paste and push out to their social handles. We work with social media influencers. Again, if we write something in the space of security or data and analytics, we will find an expert in that space and we will share that content with them in the hopes that they will like it or share it. And we've actually found really nice success putting paid support behind key business content like our hashtag Imagine Cisco campaign. So I can't talk about video storytelling without talking about YouTube, because YouTube is at the core of this content phenomenon. Some facts about YouTube: there's more than 1 billion users on there. Half of views are on mobile devices. The most important bullet that I want to stress here is that YouTube is the second largest search engine after Google. So for search purposes alone, your business truly needs to have a presence on YouTube. And some really basic YouTube tips for your business. Brand your homepage with a banner and a bio, something dynamic, beautiful, and engaging. Keep your content short and engaging. I think some companies are even pushing 30 seconds these days, but I think if you have engaging content, people are doing like 3 minutes or less. Leverage rich keywords and titles and descriptions. Use specific and plentiful tags. If you know that people are going to be searching for breast cancer or healthcare, you want all of those tags in your, you want those terms in your tags. Use descriptions to drive traffic back to key assets like your website. After each description we have on our YouTube videos, we have, to find out more, check out newsroom.cisco.com. So we always have a call to action and something to drive back to at the end of our descriptions. So key takeaways from this talk. Find a character to tell your story. Simplify your big ideas. Amplify videos across internal and external communications channels. Leverage YouTube's reach. And take chances. And that's it for me. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you have any questions, please let me know.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Okay, again, even though it's a small room, we want to use a microphone so that everybody can hear your questions. So who would like to kick it off with a question?
Great presentation. Thank you. My name is Jessica with Now Marketing Group, and I wanted to know, you said you work with brand influencers, and you just send them the content. Now, are you paying them to do this, or you're just sending it to them in hopes that since they're in the space, they're going to share it?
At the latter. So we work with a PR agency, and they will find specific influencers, people who have a large following on Twitter, most likely, and then we will... like, if we have an article on wildlife and this person mentions something about animals, we will tweet it to them in the hopes that they will retweet it or like it. So it's really more of the latter. Yeah.
Other questions?
Can you just follow up on what the success rate is in that?
You know what? I don't know. I will ask my team and I will get back to you.
And do you ever do a paid model as well?
For influencers?
Yeah.
So the Vine influencers were paid, of course. Do we ever pay? I'm not sure. Okay. Sorry about that.
Because I have a mix in my, I work in tourism. Uh-huh. And so we have a mix of hoping that people will like or share things because they see it and we've pointed it out to them through PR agencies and social agencies and things. But to right. do campaigns with influencers, I find that those typically come with costs attached.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, over here.
With your Vine influencers, you showed the little Vine vignettes that you created. Mm-hmm. How did you leverage the Vine influencers? Did they give you the ideas, or how did they participate in that process?
So it was kind of a long process, this entire Vine campaign, and this was done like late last year, so it was just really recently. We did research on the most popular Viners who also did brand work. And so when we came to those people, we would give them ideas like, hey, we want to do something on data and analytics, and this is kind of a prototype that we have in mind. But of course, they're the creatives, so they have much better ideas than we do. And so they came to us with like, hey, why don't we do this? And it was really a back and forth for like months until we, I mean, and it's 6 seconds. So you really kind of just have to pare it down until it's perfect. So it was a nice combination of working together, but it takes a really long time to work with influencers. I'm sure with like YouTube and stuff like that, it's the same process.
Hi. Do you ever use
Do you ever outsource any of your video content creators? Or how do you usually create these videos? Is it in-house? That's it.
Okay, they're in-house. So if I can take from the example, that first video I showed you, it was me producing, working with a videographer that we work with, and he's an in-house videographer. He used to be in news. He knows my managers from NBC. So he has this like documentary style that he's really familiar with. And we keep him for 20 hours a week, and that's pretty much it. We leverage that videographer, and we work with him.
Other questions? I have a question, Stephanie.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate a little bit on the size and the breadth of the team in the newsroom?
Oh, yeah, we're a small team. So the newsroom team, so you saw the newsroom, which was our tech news site. We have Joey Healy, who kind of oversees everything. Kirsten, who is our lead content person. Myself, who's the editorial producer and video producer. And that's it, really. Yeah, we have our social side, which works on our @Cisco handles on Twitter and Facebook, but really the content for the network is like three people. We also have a writers program of folks not employed by Cisco, folks who have written for like New York Times and stuff like that. We will have them contracted and they will write for us.
Other questions?
Question. The employee advocacy program, you said you send them the content like via email and then encourage them to share.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you just monitor what they're sharing, or like, what's the success with that?
Yeah, so we have a hub that shows how many shares we have gotten for each piece of content that is sent out from the social media ambassadors program. I'm not sure how that is collected, but there are metrics for that. I will talk to you afterwards if I get more information.
Okay.
Just to build upon the last comment, Stephanie, with your brand ambassadors, I'm going to call them internal ambassadors, do you incentivize them, or like, how do you get them to sign up and really be active?
That's a really good question, because I don't think there are any incentives. I had a chat with someone from the Social Media Ambassadors Hub like last week, and they were talking about how we as Cisco need to really gather our employees to talk about our company more because it's not really in the space. So you know what? There are no incentives, but I think that's a really good idea. Yeah, I'll take that back to them.
And one more. Are they just on their own profiles and they're talking about the company?
Mm-hmm. So we want it to be like the authentic employee experience. So we want it to be at like @blank blank says, I love working at Cisco.
Have you had resistance from any of the employees, like not wanting to share their information on Facebook and talk about this stuff on social media?
I guess it's completely voluntary. So whoever wants to do it just does it. I haven't seen any pushback, but I can see how there could be. We have so many employees that there are just some folks who want to do it and some folks who don't.
Okay, we have still a little more time for a question or two. Yeah, back over here. Get a little exercise here.
Do you set like KPIs before you really produce content, and how do you measure success then?
I don't know what KPIs mean.
Key performance indicator, like this video, we expect to get this many views.
We don't. That is something that we need to work on, is kind of like creating our measurements before we do it, because what we tend to do is we create a lot of videos and we do a lot of output without kind of thinking about what we want to accomplish. No, we don't do that.
The documentary piece that you did, can you kind of clarify exactly what Cisco's role in that was? For example, the technology wasn't specifically a Cisco product. So how you kind of got into that space?
That's a good question. So we had no editorial control over that documentary. So a documentary filmmaker came to us and they were like, hey, Cisco, I think you might want to talk about this technology. I think it's in your wheelhouse. And so we supported it, but we're not in the documentary at all. It's just something that we want to talk about. Mm-hmm.
Thought I saw another hand going up here. Yeah.
Hi. I have two questions. One, did they make that thing? The bra, is it like in, is it being made?
Oh, like, I guess so,
like,
yeah.
I'm hooked. Like, I want to hear the rest of the story.
Yeah. The documentary is supposed to premiere at South By, I think, this year. Okay. So I believe it's in the making.
Awesome. Number two, as you guys are coming up with your content, where does your content ideas coming from? Do you have, like, the higher-ups come down and go, these are the things that we want to talk about, then you guys powwow? Just kind of, what's that process?
Yeah, so we have, like, key priority stories that the higher-ups give us. So it'll be, like, this quarter, it's the Internet of Things and security. Our latest CEO is, like, really big on security, so we have to talk about that a lot. And then what we do to source our content is we will do weekly calls with other teams. So teams who are in like corporate social responsibility or teams who are in employee engagement and culture. And they will tell us their stories. And then we'll kind of all gather and swap blogs and stuff like that. We also utilize interns and university hires for like really cool news stories, because they usually have a lot of fun stories about like working at Cisco. So it's really just connecting with people from the company.
Other questions? And if not, that's when I sneak my next question is in. What about, you talk about taking chances. What about new channels like Periscope and Blab? Are you taking chances with any of those channels?
Yeah, we have been experimenting with Periscope as of last year. And I say experimenting specifically. What we'll do is if we have a big event, we will Periscope an exec and ask them questions. And what else have we been doing? I think that's it. Exec chats. Yeah, on Periscope.
All right. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for sharing the story with us. How about a big Las Vegas applause for Stephanie?
Thank you so much.